Welcome to Dial Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz. I am all by myself in my basement. I believe we've got one listener, so that at least is something to write home about. We are expecting Dork Almighty any minute now. Possibly, any of the next 8 to 12 minutes. How about that? And he'll be here joining us to talk about, whatever the hell it is he likes to talk about. Mostly Linux-based things, free software, and other subversive crap like that. I myself like to talk about anything and everything technology related. So let's see what we've got. We've got all kinds of things on Slashdot. We've got some interesting things on digg.com, and that's slashdot.org. Check that out. I think we've got a Tales from the Dork side. Some interesting troubleshooting stuff that I did recently. I'll have a couple questions for Matt, actually, about some website troubleshooting that I've been doing. Excuse me. We'll have a Dork Almighty's Free Software of the Week. We've got a Tim Wurzel Bare Metal Question of the Week. And we will also feature Shane's YouTube Clip of the Week. Shane, the greatest fan ever. And you can what's the name of his site? Tech for Life, TEK, the number 4, and the word life. Tech for Life. There's a user named Tech for Life at YouTube. I wonder if that could be him. The techforlife.com is known as the interweb's most transient website. And that must be it. That must be Shane's website. Must be. So that's looking good, Shane. This website looks good. You got YouTube clips all over the place. I love it. So however, we won't be featuring the any Metallica acoustic versions as our YouTube clip of the week. That simply won't do. But go check out techforlife.com. TEK number 4 LIFE.com. And we'll see what else we can come up with today. But let's go ahead and jump right into, let's see, Slashdot. What do we got? Okay, here's the first, here's an article right here on the front page. Google calls for power supply design changes. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever built a computer before or have dealt, or support other people's computers or have ever dealt with power supply problems. They are a bitch. And actually, it's not so much that the problems themselves are a bitch, but figuring out that it's the power supply causing the problem can often be a bitch. I don't know how else to explain it, but a power supply, if it's no good, or if it's failing, or if it's just cheap, or simply just doesn't work very well, can cause all kinds of problems. It can cause BSODs, instant reboots, strange behavior, people pay upwards of $200 for a really good power supply on their computer. I don't. The most I've ever paid is my most recent power supply. I paid about $80 for an Enermax Liberty 400-watt power supply, which appears to be doing a tremendous job in my Core 2 Duo Mega Machine upstairs. But, I have had computers come to me that are, that acting up, you would think maybe it's a memory error or something's wrong with Windows or whatever. No, it's just a power supply delivering dirty, uneven power and causing the motherboard to do all kinds of strange things. And it's shocking how important the power supply is. And let's see now, Google is calling for a shift from multi-voltage power supplies to a single 12-volt standard. Your typical power supply has like a 12-volt chain. It has a 5-volt chain. What else does it have? Even a 3.3-volt chain. That might be what goes to the motherboard. I'm not sure. Basically, it's got all these different, if you've ever seen a power supply, it's got all these cables coming out of it. Some have the 4-pin connectors that go to the hard drive. Some have the smaller 4-pin connector that goes to a floppy drive. When I said hard drive or CD-ROM drive for that matter. And some other devices take the 4 pins. Some fans I've seen do that, things like that. And you've got like the 20 or 24 pin, the big block thing that goes into the motherboard. There's a four port. There's four port CPU power. There's six port CPU power. There's, you know, whatever. It's got all kinds of different voltages that the power supply has to deliver. And, you know, they're suggesting that Google is suggesting that instead the power supply should just supply 12-volt power and then let the motherboard deal with it and distribute the right voltage and the right amount of power to the components. The simpler design of the new power supply would make it easier to achieve efficiencies. The Google white paper argues that the opportunity for power savings is immense. By deploying the power supplies in 100 million desktop PCs running 8 hours a day, it would be possible to save 40 billion kilowatt hours over 3 years, or more than $5 billion in California energy rates. And all that sounds great, whatever, but what really shocks me is the fact that Google has something on the order of 450,000 servers. That is completely fucking staggering to me. And that's I don't know if that's the most of any company. I'd like to see a list of statistics like that, like what companies employ the most servers. I would assume that Microsoft has tons, IBM tons, you know, perhaps Apple has a great many to run iTunes. I'm wondering what company would probably have the most servers. But 450,000 servers sounds like an awful lot. It's ridiculous. So, you know, obviously Google has some vested interest in perhaps a more efficient power supply. Let's see what else we got here. By the way, anyone who's wondering where's Yoko the architect tonight? She was kind enough to join the show a couple of weeks ago. She's a little under the weather. Of course, she's 8 months pregnant, and so that's whoa, Poppy, what do you got there? I wonder if Matt's here. I wonder if Poppy hears Matt coming up the stairs. Well, anyway, just want everyone to know that Yoko the architect is doing fine, and that's all good. Let's see. Does file sharing really hurt the music biz? A new study has come out that purports to show a link between file sharing and decreased CD purchases. Covering the period of 95 to 03, the study looked for a link between owning a computer and decreased CD purchases. That's it. Just owning a computer and decreased CD purchases. The researchers found that some U.S. music consumers could have decreased their CD purchases by about 13% due to internet file sharing. Well, yeah. I mean, a 13% doesn't sound like a whole lot to me. I mean, 13% between 95 and 03 could have encompassed just a temporary fascination with music file sharing and then finally giving up on it because, you know, who cares and who needs all that music anyway? I know that I've downloaded some music that I didn't purchase. And what can I say? I did it. I wanted to hear the song right away. I didn't want to spend $16, $17 on a CD. So I'm a bad person, and I apologize. But, you know, this study, if it's true, whatever, I don't know. I can't assess the merits. But it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. And, you know, of course, the music industry kind of is going the Metallica route here, you know, just suing everybody and prosecuting people. And it's just silly. People are still going to do it. I think people might even be doing it more than ever just to, you know, just figuring. You know, my theory has always been, download what you want, but don't share what you download with other people. That's kind of probably one way to stay out of the crosshairs. I mean, I think what the music industry is really worried about are people who distribute their music for free as opposed to the people who are actually downloading it. So there's my little insider tip for today. What do we got here? Intel pledges 80-core processor in 5 years. Now, this just seems strange to me. Intel has developed an 80-core processor with claims that can perform a trillion flops. That would be floating point operations per second. So a trillion flops on a single processor. That's, you can play a serious game of Civilization on that processor. Let's see. CEO Paul Otellini held up a silicon wafer with the prototype chips before several thousand attendees at the Intel Developer Forum. The chips are capable of exchanging data at a terabyte a second. And he wants to have them in production in a five-year window. So I guess I'll be holding out for that one. A terabyte a second. That's insane. That's incredible. I wonder how much heat this processor is going to generate. I honestly do. But it makes my Core 2 Duo look like a piece of shit. If this is for real. And I have to say that, there was, for about the last 2 years, Intel has been punked on every front by AMD and just made to look foolish. But then they signed that deal with Apple, and then they came out with the Core 2 Duo, and they're, like, right back on top as far as I'm concerned. I know that AMD is going to come out with, you know, some quad-core and other things, and it's very possible that they're going to implement some of these things better than Intel will, but I tell you, and they... Intel hit an absolute home run, and they're just on full bore. They are charging in a big way. And AMD is going to be hard-pressed to hang on because they don't have the R&D budget. Let's see. MySpace trumps YouTube in video. An anonymous reader writes to mention a Market Watch article revealing MySpace is actually the largest video provider on the Internet. I don't think I understand that because I thought MySpace was just, like profiles, pictures, but I guess you can embed videos on your page, and I guess everybody does. Let's see. 37.4 million unique individuals watched a video on MySpace in July. That's off the charts. All told, they collectively watched 1.4 billion videos. By comparison, the audience on Yahoo watched 812 million video streams, making Yahoo the number two most popular video site. Yahoo ranks number one as measured by unique streamers, but barely beats out MySpace. So, like, YouTube is nowhere to be found. I did read, and kudos to them, I did read that the YouTube founders or whatever, who are probably losing hundreds of thousands of dollars possibly a month right now because of the bandwidth and the number of servers they need to keep their site running, has said that they won't take less than $1.5 billion if somebody wants to buy YouTube. And, it would be a pretty cool thing to own. There's a lot of people who like to go there. And, of course, we feature it on the show. But there's definitely going to be some blowback with the copyrighted material. I know they're trying to come up with, fully sponsored material, but, I don't know. I don't know. I like the fact that it's just people putting stuff up there, whatever it is. And, look, if it's copyrighted, YouTube has to, systematically search their database for copyrighted material and take it down. Take it down as fast as they can. People will put it up faster than they can take it down, but they just have to keep doing that. That's just, to me, the reality. I mean, YouTube doesn't work as a concept if people can't upload their videos. And somebody's going to upload, a video. And in fact, I'm going to say that Shane's YouTube clip of the week, assuming it's still up there, is going to be Korgoth of Barbaria, it's the pilot of a cartoon show. It can be seen occasionally on, It can be seen occasionally on Cartoon Network during Adult Swim. It's essentially like a humorous animated take on, on Conan the Barbarian. It's great. Korgoth of Barbaria. It's Korgoth of Barbaria. It's in three parts, okay? Because this is like a 22, 23-minute pilot. So it's in three parts. You've got the Korgoth of Barbaria. Khorgoth of Barbaria, Episode 01, Part 2, and Episode 01, Part 3. Just go to YouTube and search for Khorgoth, K-O-R-G-O-T-H. It's pretty damn funny, I have to tell you. I mean, it's really worth a look, and I know that the Cartoon Network plays it and is trying to gauge the response to see if they want to actually, contract for a few more episodes, but I'm telling you, it's really good. It's really, really good, and it's funny as hell. And here's the thing. It's up there on YouTube. It's copywritten material, but, if I'm Cartoon Network, if I'm the creator of Khorgoth, I'm probably absolutely thrilled that it's out there and that it's popular. These things, the first one, okay, you know what? Khorgoth, look for the one that says Episode 01, Part 1, I think, and then 01, Part 2, and Part 3. Part 1 has 180,000 views, and Part 2 has 108,000 views, and Part 3 has 88,000 views, which is kind of interesting that it goes down like that. So I guess more than half of the people liked it enough to watch the second part, and about half the people who watched it liked it enough to watch the whole damn thing. But I'll tell you, I loved it. I thought it was funny as hell. And this is the thing. It's like, be smart. People like, NBC, if they're smart, would allow all the little clips and highlights of SNL to flourish all over the net. Because ultimately what's going to happen is people are going to be in love with SNL. They're probably going to buy the DVDs and stuff, and they're going to watch the show. That's ultimately what's most important. They're going to watch the show. It's just like, you can't prosecute too heavily for people using unlicensed software because they become, devotees of the software. I've used my share of unlicensed copies of Windows, but I am a, devotee of Windows. I like Windows. I like supporting Windows, and I like the way it works. I can find my way around. I can do lots of things. It usually does what you want it to do. And the thing is, though, is that because I used it and I didn't have the money to pay for it, but I used it and then I became comfortable with it, and now I don't want to use anything else. So, what can I say? The same, in a lot of ways, same goes for things like Ghost. For a while it was Norton Antivirus, but now that product is so bad, it doesn't matter anymore. I wouldn't take it for free. They're giving it for free. I had an unlicensed copy of Quicken, and I had an unlicensed copy of QuickBooks for a while just to quote unquote try them out. And well, guess what? Now that's all I use. I am completely sold on those products. That's all I use. And it's because of this sort of trialware that I sort of presented myself with. What can I say? But, all right, so there. Now that I've ranted on that, what else do we have? So that's Shane's YouTube clip of the week, Khorgoth of Barbaria. It's awesome. I highly suggest you check it out. Now, let's see. Where are we? Blah, blah, blah. You know what else I would say would be a good clip to look for on YouTube is highlights of Bill Clinton's interview with Chris Wallace on Faux News. And it's pretty amazing. I'm very happy to see Clinton finally coming out of his shell. The guy took a beating in office, but, it was a pretty prosperous term, 2 terms in office. There was peace for the most part. There was some terrorism, but nothing here. Economy was good, and the guy was a great speaker, great public speaker, great speech maker, and it was just, he seemed presidential in his carriage. So, it's great to see him coming out now, being a leader, talking more, getting involved. I think people miss him, and people want to hear more from him, and I think he should have a daytime talk show. I think he should come on right after Oprah. Let's see what else we got here. Study finds world warmth edging to ancient levels. Decades-long study by NASA scientists. Global temperatures are reaching highs not seen in thousands of years. Well, no duh. All I can say is that I'm... We've had magnificent weather here in Cleveland. This has been the probably the greatest summer that I can remember, and I've been here for 15, 16 years, and this is the best summer I can remember. It's been amazing. We had a week of 90-degree days. That was it. Every other day was like 70s and 80s, sunny, lots and lots of sun. You know, the rain came in like brief downpours. You would, you know, fine. A couple of days of rain and then a week of sunshine. It's been awesome. I've been outside running the dog around. So, I don't know. For this year, global warming, I love you. Next year, perhaps, when, you know, Lake Erie is dry and you can walk to Canada, I won't like it so much. All right, let's see. What else we got here? What the hell is... Microsoft launches social network. Well, inspired by the fast growth of social networks such as Facebook and MySpace. I think Facebook just got sold for a shitload of money. Microsoft is launching a test version of its own social network, Wallop. W-A-L-L-O-P. Wallop brands itself as the exclusive social experience. And is technically... What the hell does that mean? The exclusive social experience. And is technically a separate company, a startup that's based on technologies developed at Microsoft Research. As far as revenues, Wallop plans to sell graphics and other features people can use to decorate their personal profile pages. Well, that's kind of interesting. So they're going to sell you the tools to make your page look cool. Let's go check that out. We have Wallop.com. I can't believe Wallop was available. I wonder what they had to pay for that. Wallop.com. All right. Get into Wallop. Make it yours. Oh, I see. It's really, really slick looking. Wallop is the exclusive social experience where it's easy to be yourself and connect with the friends you choose. Get invited. Discover an exclusive social experience like no other to connect, share, and converse with the people you care about. Get invited. So what, you have to get invited? It's kind of like Google Mail. Make it yours. Express yourself by uniquely customizing Wallop with your own pictures, music, animation, and a growing number of exciting mods. Best of all, no coding required. It's under your control. Socialize with the people you know and want to know in a safe, ad-free environment where you control who has access to your personal content. So interesting. So it's kind of like somewhere between like MySpace and LinkedIn and Google Mail. I mean, it's, let's see, Wallop. The mods. There's these mods. Modder overview, Flash mods, Wallop API. Wow. You can request an account, I guess. That looks pretty slick, but I don't know. I mean, is it too, you know, well, too little, too late or something like that? I know Microsoft's always, you know, kind of let other people do a sort of the early adopter thing. And where the hell is Matt? Jesus Christ, said he was going to be here at 8:10. It's like 8:25. Well, of course, my phone is completely dead down here in the basement, so he's probably been trying to call. And I have no idea. Maybe we should try to call him. Yeah, let's try that. Let's see. Wait, I gotta find his number. I hope my speakerphone works better than it has been. Okay, four. All right, hold on. Hold on. Let's see if we can do this thing. Oh, what's wrong with this speakerphone? But it doesn't seem to. Ah, there it goes. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm not hearing anything. I think the speakerphone crapped out. It most definitely did. I'm going to have to replace this phone, I think. If the speakerphone isn't going to work, it doesn't do me a lot of good. That would have been fun. Unfortunately, it did not work. Wow. Well, we suck. Okay, I suck. Time to get a new telephone. I'm hearing, I'm trying to figure out what the deal is with this Wii, this Nintendo Wii, W-I-I, is it out now? I mean, I am just not a gamer anymore. And I was thinking about that today. I mean, I used to play my, like, Mattel football and my Atari and my Commodore 60. I mean, I played those things nonstop. And then one day it just ended. I think it ended my sophomore year in college when I had more fun watching my buddy John play games and watching my buddy Mate play Pipe Dreams and watching John play this D&D style game. Oh, well, I think Matt's here now. Right on time, I see. And I just got, I had more fun watching other people play than playing myself, and that was probably what did it. Yo!
Hey.
Wow, you're right on time.
I noticed that.
What the hell happened?
Accident on 671 and 480.
Oh, there was a big accident, and Matt got stuck in it, and it caused him to be upwards of 30 minutes late. So, oh well. But he'll be down here soon, and I can stop rambling, because I'm afraid it just wasn't that good, and it just wasn't that funny. It definitely wasn't funny. Oh, you didn't grab any beer.
Let me go grab some beer, too.
Yeah, why don't you go grab some beer?
You want some?
Yeah, I'll have a beer.
What do you want?
I've got some Blue Moon Pumpkin Ale in there.
Oh, what do you think of that?
Well, it doesn't taste like pumpkin, so I like it.
Yeah, it doesn't, does it?
But that's good.
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise, other pumpkin ales just taste like fizzy pumpkin shit.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of Great Lakes in there, too. Anyway, we've got two listeners. And they've been listening to me by myself sound like a total boring shithead. Anyway, so...
Well, it was crap because I sat in traffic for a little while, and then all of a sudden...
Watch it.
Some police cars go by, and I think that there was construction delays, and then there was an accident on top of the construction delays.
Wow. Well, that sucks. I have an email here from Drew that says the Knotworthy Gang is working late and tuned into the dorks.
Yeah, I stopped. I tried to get Drew before I left.
Oh, that's okay. Drew, we love you. We love you.
Sandy's there. And
we miss there. You. Sandy and Nate, too?
Yeah.
Sandy, where's my money? Hilarious. Okay, anyway.
Where's my blueberry pancakes?
Where's my turkey pot pie? Poppy, you can't have any pizza.
Yeah, you can't have any pizza.
All right, well, let's see. Let's,
I wouldn't give you any anyway.
Let's get Matthew a microphone.
Good evening, Dial a Dork audience. Well, there's my levels. As usual, they're straight off the chart.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure you're fine. So anyway, I kind of covered the whole front page of Slashdot, and I was going to move over to Dig. I did the YouTube clip of the week.
What was it?
Shane's. Korgoth of Barbaria, the pilot episode.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
No, I'm really disappointed.
It's a funny, animated take on like Conan the Barbarian kind of a character.
Maybe I did see that. Play it again. Don't you have it?
Well, actually, I have it on my jukebox.
Oh.
We'll watch it later.
We'll watch it later.
Okay.
Have you ever, do you still watch Cartoon Network at all?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched, what is it called? Metallicalypse?
I missed that one.
Dude.
Metallicalypse?
Yeah, it's... think of a mix between Conan and Metallica. And you've got...
Well, what the hell is it?
It's silly fantasy and demon and, you know, warrior type crap where the main heroes are pseudo-heavy metalers a la Metallica. It's...
Well, Metallica
it's
now
hilarious.
Are pseudo heavy metalers.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, this is Metallica then. This is like Judas Priest style stuff.
Judas Priest,
or maybe, yeah.
Early Metallica.
Early
is,
Metallica.
You know, up. Well, look, up to and including "And Justice for All" is some
sweet.
Of the finest music.
Oh yeah,
that you'll ever hear. Everything afterwards is garbage.
Well, I don't know if I believe that.
It is shit. It is complete shit, and it just gets worse and worse.
No, you're wrong.
Okay. Well, Matt is entitled to his ridiculous opinion.
It's redorkulous.
Redorkulous opinion. Oh, hey! So I might have come up with either a new name. I don't want to say a new name for the show, but actually possibly more like, how do you like the pizza, by the way?
This is damn fine pizza. It's Where'd you get it from?
Edison's.
Oh, yeah.
It's they really have good. Pizza, yeah. It's really good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they...
Mm. Okay. Needs more red pepper.
Well, we've got some crushed red pepper, I think, up there if you really need it. Mm. You want some hot sauce?
I'm so hungry.
Tabasco or red hot?
No.
No, okay. Anyway, the point is that it's not a new name for the show so much, although it could be. If we wanted to change the name of the show. Although Ramble, we've worked Ramble, so hard Ramble. At branding this. it could be the thing we use to greet telephone callers if we had any.
Or something. Okay.
I saw it on a bumper sticker, so it's probably copywritten anyway.
And?
That's it. What do you think?
I think Howard Stern's got the copyright on that.
How about this? It's Talk Nerdy to Me.
Wait.
I gotta get my friend's band to record "Talk Dirty to Me" by who sang that?
Cheap Trick.
No. The hair metal one.
Oh, Great White.
Was it Great White?
Or if it was not Great White, then it was.
It wasn't Poison, was it?
It might have been Poison. Was Great White or Poison? It might have been Poison. You can Google
it. It's one of those. White Lion. No, it's probably Great White.
I think you're onto something. It's either Great White or Poison.
Anyway, if they could record that, but instead of saying "Talk Dirty to Me," say "Talk Nerdy to Me," and we could use that as a opening theme song.
I think we need. Have you heard Weird Al's "White and Nerdy"?
No, I have not heard.
Oh
that.
My God!
Should I have heard that?
So stuck in the car, I was listening to our local 96.5, whatever that is.
It's Poison.
It's Poison. All right. So you were right. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Your 80s trivia is better than mine.
Actually, I got busted big time on some music. I nailed one, and then I got busted big time on some 80s. Well, not necessarily 80s, but some music trivia.
I'm surprised. You're usually really good at that.
All right,
stuff.
But go ahead and tell me.
All right. Well, anyway. So I'm stuck in the car listening to 96.5, and they have their, new music competition on Tuesday nights, I guess. Anyway, so the first song was Weird Al Yankovic's "White and Nerdy," sung to the tune "Ridin' Dirty." You know, the one, "They See Me Rollin'."
Yeah.
And it went up against this, like, gay song. So the first time I hear this...
Gay song?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Like,
terrible.
It was about gays?
It's supposed... No. It's supposed... The guy's like, every chick in the world likes this song. It's a crossover from some country band or whatever.
Oh, not that, like... there's some fucking country band that's getting played a lot, and it really hurts.
Yeah, it was painful.
They really suck. It's like Something Street or Rascal Flatts.
Wait, no, that sounds familiar.
It's like Rascal Flatts.
And all I could think was Roscoe P. Coltrane is singing this.
They suck balls.
Yes, I agree.
Country music sucks.
Anyway, the lyrics are awesome. That's what we should use. Incredible.
Okay, well, we'll use that or talk. Get someone to. I'll have to write the lyrics to "Talk Nerdy to Me." Down in the basement, doing the something. Talk dirty. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember
okay,
the lyrics.
The music
well
trivia
anyway.
That I got it.
Wait,
and I got nailed on another one.
So are you gonna ask me it and then see if I fail? Or,
sure.
Okay, do that.
Sure. Here's the thing. I'll ask you the trivia question that I got, and then I'll tell you how I was wrong about something else. It wasn't really a trivia question, the second part.
Hmm.
It was just I was wrong about something, and somebody said, no, someone said, come and call me on it. And we went over, and I said, where's the fucking laptop? And we busted out the Wikipedia, and I was wrong.
Okay.
I was flat out wrong. And I was completely devastated.
Present the facts to me before you give the answers. Let's see what's going on.
Okay. Well, you want to know the question I got? You want that
yes.
one first?
Yep. Give me
so
that.
This guy asked me it, and he said that he always asked people this trivia question, and no one had ever gotten it right before. And this guy also almost wept in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when he came to visit Cleveland. Well, maybe a little, but he wept when he came to visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and, like, was, you know, a foot away from John Lennon's Sgt. Pepper suit and thought it was just, like, the highlight of his life. So this guy's really into popular music and culture, okay?
Okay.
So here's the question he asked me, and I got it on my... Really, it was my first guess. Because I was saying answers out loud, but I'm like saying like, well, it's not so-and-so, it's not so-and-so, it's not so-and-so. And I went through like 10, then I looked and I go, is it something? And he goes, oh my God. And I, you know, we started flipping out. Of course, I was also pretty drunk on hurricanes.
Tasty.
Yeah, they were pretty good. So, okay, here's the question. Name the only band, and when I say only band, I mean only, you know, nationally recognized band, okay? Let's say name the only band to have to have chart, you know, charting hits or whatever.
To have noteworthy hits?
To have noteworthy hits. Little tip of the cap to our our brethren out there. Name the only band of national recognition that was formed in the 60s and is still together today and never experienced a single personnel change and never had any periods where they were defunct, like a la Aerosmith. Like Aerosmith had moments where they were broken up or whatever, weren't a band anymore, then they got back together. This is a band that started in the 60s and has been exactly the same and always together to today and is still together today. And I got it on my first guess. Dead air.
Damn, that is a pretty significant piece of music trivia there.
And since all those cats out of
nowhere
are listening
and hip kids,
perhaps we should give them the opportunity to take their guess. I've already told you who it isn't. It's not Aerosmith. And they may not have formed in the 60s anyway. I know that Dreamline came out in 72, so it's possible that they formed in the 60s. Now this, look, have I researched this question? No. Did I answer this guy's trivia question? Yes. Do I know if his question is legit and the answer legit? No, I don't.
Yeah, but to his satisfaction, it was the right answer.
I'm also going to go ahead and say that it's not the Saul Glennon Trio.
Thank God. They suck.
Does he not work at Noteworthy anymore?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I thought he came back.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, by the way, Jack Rugen, if you are out there listening, Sage is closing on Saturday for good.
I heard that.
Yeah. It's one really of his favorite restaurants. So.
Oh, it's our martini hangout, and I'm kind of broken up about that.
Well, we're going to go there for dinner Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Thursday, okay. I think
if
I can
like
do Thursday.
If you'd like to come, please join us.
All right. And all of our listeners, you should join us, too, at Sage. It's at the corner of Kenilworth and West 11th.
That's correct.
In what would be called, I guess, Tremont.
The Tremont Historic Neighborhood.
Of Cleveland, Ohio.
Yo.
I would... They have a magnificent happy hour that runs till about, I think, 8 o'clock. So we'll be there in time for that. It's $5 martinis and infusions, $5 apps, $5 wine pours and beers and stuff. And if anything you order doesn't already cost $5, they don't charge you $5. They charge you less.
And I think they give you free appetizers or something.
They don't give you free appetizers, but if you're going to stay for dinner, they give you an amuse-bouche.
Yeah, whatever that is.
It's the chef's whimsy. And it's this little one single bite or two little bites of some crazy fucking thing the chef's been experimenting
with. Yeah, but whatever it is, it's always awesome.
Yeah, it's always pretty good, I have to say. So, very sad. Sage is going to be closing, and so we'll be there Thursday at 6. Or 7. Excuse me, 7.
7 is much better for me.
Yeah. So.
So I have no answer for it. I mean, I can think of several bands that were formed around that time, but none of them kept the same members and... You know, had a contiguous recording, period. So who is it? Or do you want to give the
okay?
Note,
well,
the
Drew is saying Drew's that he thinks that Tiger had a sticker on her laptop that said that. If that's true, then I feel really dumb. I should remember that.
Tiger had a laptop.
Yeah, it was right between her waist and her knees.
Okay. Well, I
was
going to
make another joke about
what Froggy's
face smelled like or whatever. And
well, and he's not here to defend himself.
And he
so
hasn't been here in a really
him.
Long time to defend himself. So
maybe we should just
Tiger
pick on
did
him.
Have a laptop and
all right. What's the damn? What's did they did Drew offer any?
Well, I don't know. I don't see. any email responses so far?
Well, then, you know, let me have it, as the Kent
let
said.
Me have it. Well, you don't want to take any stinking guesses? You haven't even guessed. Well, why don't you start doing process of elimination?
Well,
I can give you a hint, too.
Sure, go ahead.
They've had more than one number one hit on the Billboard chart, the Hot 100. They've had more than one number one hit, I do believe. However, for the most part, they pretty much fly under the radar. They had a brief moment where they were just incredibly popular and they had two mega hits, and then they kind of returned to their sort of underground, I don't say underground, but just sort of back to their kind of, you know, moderate fame. Does that help?
No, not in the least, because you have to understand that my knowledge of pre-70s rock is pretty much non-existent, I would have to say, owing to the fact that I was born in 1972 and have just no real impetus to go back to the 60s and find some tunage.
Well, I don't...
I don't even have a point of reference with which to start guessing who formed in the 60s.
Okay, well, forget about the fact that they formed in the 60s. People don't realize how long they've been around. But they've had...
Well, listen,
They had hits in the 70s, but they weren't chart toppers. They were more like a bluesy rock and roll that were very popular, and they're just classic rock staples. But then in the 80s, in the early 80s, they had two monster hits that just put them in everyone's consciousness. And then after that, they had a couple of minor hits that were kind of formulaic, trying to recapture what they did with the two really big hits. And then they just kind of went away.
How about ZZ Top?
That's it, exactly.
You're kidding me.
That is it. ZZ Top.
This is, you know, this is the weirdest thing about life and sociology and
legs and sharp-dressed men.
Exactly. I was just proclaiming to Mr. Heron today that
Mr. Heron. This question makes me think of Mr. Heron.
Yeah, exactly. And he gave me this fantastic bit of trivia.
Okay.
That has just left my brain.
Okay.
Well, why? No. Here
okay,
it is.
You got it.
What was the first CD or album, whatever you want to call it, for all the kids out there, it's, you know, CD. What was the first album to include liner notes in it?
Liner notes or
lyrics?
Yeah, you
know, lyrics. Lyrics.
I'm going to say Sgt. Pepper's.
You're right.
Because I remember reading somewhere or watching in some documentary that Sgt. Pepper's put the lyrics inside, and that was just like, oh, gee, what a concept.
Right.
Because albums before that, I'm pretty sure, had liner notes. I mean, like,
yes.
If you go look at some of those older, like, 50s and 60s records, you turn them over, they have all this stuff on the back, like, you know, of some music critic fawning over the Kingston Trio or something.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I should have said that better. Next time I ask that, it'll be, you know, lyrics.
Well, good. I'm two
for two.
So
you are two for two.
However, here was what I was wrong about.
But wait a minute. Because we were talking about that, okay. And then I said, I was listening to some music. I was like, damn, you know, I got to get some ZZ Top in my iTunes collection. I have none. So I need a CD, if anybody has one.
What, for what?
For any of the good ZZ Top stuff.
You need a CD?
Well,
oh,
yeah,
by the way, on the band guesses, Nate guessed Foghat.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
I can't actually say yes or no.
Well, but...
And Drew guessed the Romantics.
That's a good guess, but they were not formed in the 60s.
Yeah, so I'm going to say both are wrong. And then
you should look up Foghat, because they're definitely older.
Well, Foghat was definitely would fall, I think, be, you know, fall into the category, but I have no idea if they're still together or if they were together all the time, never had any personnel change. I don't know. This is what the guy told me.
All right, well, we're going to go with that. So what's the other question?
Well, the thing I was totally wrong about was that this other guy asserted that Bruce Springsteen has never had a chart-topping single.
Yeah, he has.
The answer is he hasn't.
Oh, well, number one or just a chart, like a top 10?
Chart-topping.
So topping means
number one on the Hot 100. Not Born to Run, not Glory Days, not Dancing in the
USA,
Dark, not Born in the USA,
not what's
Your
that?
Hometown, not even
no,
like
what's
Philadelphia.
That? What's that? What's that?
Streets
what's
of
that?
Philadelphia or whatever?
I'm on Fire from
on fire?
Jerry Maguire. So wasn't that in Jerry
Maguire?
Well,
that's in I'm on Fire. That's on the that's in Born in the USA album.
Yeah.
None of those songs, nothing. Not a fucking thing. And yet Billy Joel went to number one with We Didn't Start the Fire, That Piece of Shit.
Yeah, I never really liked that song myself. I like him as an artist, but I didn't like that song.
Everything after, pretty much after, like, Uptown Girl and stuff like, and Allentown and all that stuff, I was done. That stuff was cool.
The Downeaster Alexa. That's a good tune.
Ugh.
Come on!
The Downeaster
you
Alexa.
You are a crotchety old man
no,
already.
I don't like that song because Alexa is basically spyware, and I just don't like it.
Nerd.
Talk nerdy to me. Anyway, so let's move on to Tim Wurzel's bare metal question of the week. And, oh, it's a doozy.
And I didn't even get to respond to it before, you know, we had the show. I saw it in the email box. I was too busy to take care of it.
We should answer his questions exclusively on the air, force him to listen, and put it all the way at the end of the show.
Well, it just kidding. So happens that we're doing that tonight.
All
so,
right, so there, you, have to, there you have it.
Since I failed to bring any kind of computing device, you'll have to share your notebook with me.
I will just read it. I'll simply read it to you, as I always do. Tim Wurzel's bare metal question of the week. And by the way, Tim, thank you very much for submitting it. Dorks, I have been given two brand new USB flash drives in the past few months. Both my computer at home and at work will not even recognize that it is plugged into the USB port when I plug it in. Both of the computers are running USB 2.0. When I plug the other one, 512 megabyte one, into my computer at home... Okay, I see what he's saying. One of them doesn't get recognized at all. The other one, when he plugs it into his computer at home, it eventually recognizes the drive, and it did format it properly the first time, but then his computer was running extremely slow the entire time the drive was plugged into his computer. At work, the computer won't recognize the drive. Both of the computers are running Windows XP Pro, and they are new enough computers that they should not be having any problem with these drives. Why won't either of the comps recognize them? Aren't they supposed to be plug and play? Thanks, Tim.
Well, all right, we can answer the first question really easily. Yes, USB drives are plug and play.
Yeah, well, they are supposed to be plug and play. And almost, you know, 99% of these thumb drives, pen drives, flash drives, whatever you want to call them, are of a generic nature. And XP and Windows 2000 have the drivers, you know, fully integrated into the system. You should just be able to plug them in, and within about 10 to 20 seconds, you should be using them, and off you go. Windows 98 Second Edition and Windows ME usually require the installation of drivers and a reboot, in fact.
Yeah, but we don't care about those because they're not pertinent to the story.
Right, I'm just saying.
And if you're still running them, anyone who ever listens to this podcast, you need to, you know, to just drop that shit, okay? Get out of your mom's basement and move into your own basement, and then you can still run Windows 98.
Get out of your parents' basement, move into a basement apartment.
Exactly.
Because you got to wean yourself off slowly. You can't just go from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Well, it just so happens I have a two-bedroom place that's coming available here in October, so... my tenant is moving to Cincinnati for a new job and to be with her boyfriend, so I
are you freaking out or are you excited?
I'm very excited for her.
You're very excited for yourself?
Well, I'm not excited because obviously I've just lost a good tenant, but
now are you excited to be able to get in there and fix up the place?
No, I took care of all the stuff that I needed to for that first floor right off the gate, so really I would like to update the kitchen and the bathroom, but they're not terrible, so they're fine.
Did you see the finished bedroom?
No, but I'm glancing at it as you're pointing emphatically over your shoulder, looking like some freak from
Greased
Lightning.
The carpet tile.
Yeah, I do like the carpet tile. I think I might actually do that in...
Well, you know what? It doesn't stick for shit.
You don't need it to.
Yeah, I know you don't need it to, but I think we wanted it. Excuse me. I think we wanted it to.
All right. Well, you can go get some liquid nails. It's good adhesive, and that'll take
care of it.
Well, we
don't want it to be glued to the fucking floor. We just want it to stick. It comes with, like, this adhesive, because you're supposed to be able to pull them up, wash them, if you need to, like, hand wash them, scrub them, whatever, and put them back down, and they'll stick again. They do not stick at all.
Well, you are putting them in your basement, and moisture does come up through the concrete floor, so that would,
this
of course,
fairly,
affect any...
a fairly dry
I
basement.
Agree.
But, however, I think that it's what's probably likely is that there's a fine dust or something on this floor that we just
sure.
can't get off. And or that the surface is so pitted and uneven that the adhesive can't get enough surface area to adequately stick.
So in other words, you should have painted the floor first and sealed it properly and then put down the carpet tile.
Yeah, well, we were almost dead at that point from doing the ceiling and everything else.
Aww.
We were hurting. Oh, but and I hooked up my wireless three-way light switch.
We don't care about that.
Why don't we care
Actually,
about
we
that?
Do care about that. I'd like to see that in person.
You got
to
see that. It's friggin' awesome. Okay. Anywho.
Anyway.
Back to
so
Tim's question.
Back to the facts. Yeah, USB is plug and play. Yes, USB 2.0 is completely backward compatible with USB 1.0 devices.
And 1.1.
And 1.1. Possible reasons for why they wouldn't be automatically recognized. And quite honestly, this may be the case. No USB-based flash drive that I have ever had to use needed to be formatted. They were all they were all formatted right off the start. Maybe if this is especially one of those secure USB flash drives, maybe you do need some specific drivers for it. And
so that's a good question, Tim.
I would go.
Are
with that.
These secure flash drives, or these encryption flash drives, or anything out of the ordinary? Are they just your generic? You know,
I believe that if they were truly generic, they would just work. But there's something special about them that seems to be, you know, doing the deal. And I really don't understand why you would have to format them. They come formatted.
Well, let's say that he just wanted to format it.
Quit being contrary.
Okay, fine. The point is, he did format them. Maybe he did it just to see, hey, does this thing actually work?
Well, that was a bad test.
Don't be critical of Tim. Take it easy. I find this very peculiar. My first inclination first I want to ask is, you were given these flash drives. Who gave them to you? Why did they give them to you? What brand are they? Where did they come from? They might be, what if they are the same brand or the same type and they just don't, they flat out don't work?
Well, and maybe that's why he was given them. He was given some lemons.
It says given to brand new USB flash.
Given to brand new. Given off of what? eBay? You know, given by, you know, somebody who re-gifted them, who already figured out that they didn't work, or what?
I can't answer that.
Tim. this is God, Tim.
The thing that I'm thinking about is that
I
doubt
you.
Very seriously that two...
to stop.
Stop touching yourself. I can't imagine that these drives... what I'm saying is two different computers running Windows XP, you know, both with USB 2.0, there is no reason... There's no conceivable reason why these drives wouldn't work in both unless there was something wrong with the drives themselves. That's where I'm going to go with this, that there's something wrong with those drives, that I would go get a drive that you know works, that maybe somebody else has, or an older one you may have had and haven't used in a while, you know that it works, and I would plug that in and see how it does. And if these are just don't work right, there's something wrong internally with them, or they were, you know, whatever, then they're never going to work, really.
Here's what the power user tech would do with these.
Throw them in the garbage, because you can get new ones for about $20.
Less than that if you find them at the Micro Center bargain.
You go
bin.
To like Staples had 1 gig for $15.99 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Is it? Yeah, agreed. However, if you are a tinkerer and just want to know, here's what I would do. A, check the firmware for your motherboard. Often that carries with it the USB basic support, and sometimes that is updated. Two, check to make sure that your USB drivers are indeed up to date. Microsoft did release several patches for those not a long time ago, but in XP's history, that took care of some CPU usage problems.
Here's something. Can I throw something in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
There is something called USB legacy support motherboards that could perhaps be problematic, and that could potentially be the same on both computers if maybe they're the same brand or similar in nature. If that's disabled for some reason these might not work or something. I mean, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
But it does make sense, and that is certainly
other USB devices work. Have you tried every port? I've seen USB ports be faulty.
But, you know.
I've seen USB ports be faulty. Okay, I've seen one port work and the next port not work. If there's a little bit of
just like memory,
a little something wrong with the circuitry. Usually, if your computer is new and it has USB 2.0, it probably has anywhere between 4 and 8 USB ports. You might as well try more than one and see what you get.
And then, of course, the last thing is to go to the manufacturer's website and either download specific drivers or check the support forums to see if anybody else has had any problems.
That's true. If it's got a brand name on there and they're any kind of reputable company, they'll have. Well, they might not have drivers. They might say, yeah, the drivers are built into XP. You don't need drivers.
But that's fine. You can still check the support forum say, you know, whatever.
You can put the model number up on the, you know, search on Google and just, you know, see if there's any known problems or known issues. I agree that for the most part, though, I think thumb drives work pretty flawlessly, and they're an indispensable tool for me.
Same here.
So I would suggest that you just try some of these things. Make sure that USB legacy support is enabled. If it is enabled, try disabling it. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, don't do that. Matt says don't do that. Okay, don't do it. Try different ports. Try a known working pen drive and see if it does the same thing. Other than that, you might as well...
Give them back.
Yeah. Give them back.
And punch the guy in the face.
Or throw them out. And go get new ones because they're so cheap now, you might as well just say out of hell with it.
I'm still in favor of the donkey punch, so.
Don't donkey punch the person who gave them to you unless, I guess, they're an attractive woman. Okay. Matt, you're a sick fuck. All right, where are we here?
Where were we? Do we have any new flair for the week?
Well, I've got this computer here.
Is that still the black monolith that is...
No, yet to work? No, that works. That's been working great.
Oh, excellent.
That works amazing.
Amazing.
It works great. My PCIe 1X SATA controller with my 10K Raptor drive is fast as shit.
You just have one?
Yeah.
One drive?
I just have the OS on a single Raptor drive, and I have all my docs and everything else on a RAID 5.
Yeah, baby.
So
that's hot.
It runs fast as hell. I mean fast. Oh, I've made the complete switch to Thunderbird. But I had to abandon Lightning.
Oh, okay. Well,
it just doesn't work very well.
Yeah, I mean, Lightning's not even a... hasn't hit milestone.
One.
Yeah.
Not even 1.0.
Yeah.
But I'm using Google Calendar.
I've heard that's supposed to be all right.
It works really well. And they can do reminders to email, pop-ups, and SMS. What you do is you put your phone number into... There's a little setup area, and you put your phone number in there, and it sends you an SMS number, and then you... sends you an SMS message with a verification code in it. You type the code in, and then it associates your phone number with your calendar account. It can send you an email of your daily agenda every day at a predetermined time. You can even get it through your phone. I forget how, but you basically dial... You basically like send the word day to... the Google Calendar SMS number is like 48 something. And boom, it sends you an SMS message with your daily agenda in it.
You know that, I mean,
that is pretty fly.
That is definitely pretty fly. I have to admit that the Yahoo calendaring is actually pretty good
Yahoo
as well.
Yahoo calendar works extraordinarily well, and Yahoo for a long time, at least 2 years, has had a standalone synchronization client that works. It's basically a limited version of IntelliSync.
Yeah.
And it works with Outlook and other devices. And so, yeah, if you're using Yahoo for your calendar, I say, you know, kudos to you. And now they've got their mail beta, and I'm sure a calendar mm-hmm. is forthcoming. And so
I'm actually using the Yahoo mail beta.
How is it?
Without sounding like an elitist, I think they could have done better. I just don't think that the whole Web 2.0 Ajax-style stuff is quite ready performance-wise. The screen doesn't refresh as fast as straight HTML does. Some of the drag-and-drop features are nice-to-haves, but you know, as a Power Mail user, they're simply nice-to-have. They're not necessities. The calendaring is indeed very nice. And I think they've taken it too far with prettifying it and taking the performance hit associated with that.
Well,
I did want to say that for any of you techies out there listening who are adminning for small companies, realistically anymore, there's no reason for a small company to bother hosting their own email.
Well, now this is very interesting that you said that, because I had a meeting today with a potential client. I'll be producing a proposal for them, hopefully by the end of the week. One of the things they want to do, aside from getting some wireless networking going and to sort out what's going on with their backups, because their backups have simply ceased working. Just 0 bytes recorded every time.
That's generally bad.
That's not acceptable. They've been backing up their critical data on CD every day just as a stopgap measure, and I'm proud of them, but, you know, these are not techie people computer-wise. They're techie people from a biomedical engineering standpoint, but not from a computer, like, admin standpoint. But one thing they want to do is they bought a long time ago Small Business Server 2003 and have been running it for a long time, and they want to start using Exchange.
And you said, don't bother. There's a ton of free stuff that we can do that will take care of things for you.
Right out of the lady's mouth, she's like, look, webmail just isn't cutting it. We don't want to use it. We want to use Outlook, and we want to have our Exchange server running, and we want to be backing up all our email and blah, blah, blah.
All right, I have two comments to that.
Now, there could be some kind of, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley thing or some kind of regulatory thing where they have to save their email and they have to do this and that and the other thing, and it just might make more sense for them. And I already gave her a task. I'm like, well, if you're going to do that, you need to find out, you know, you need to call, you know, a Time Warner and upgrade to a business account so you can, A, host servers without violating your terms of service, and B, have a static IP.
Well, like, as I was about to say, I have two comments to that. With the disk space available per email account for a paid email subscription to either Yahoo or Google,
mm-hmm.
you never have to delete anything, and those boxes get backed up, you know, on a regular and timely basis.
Indeed they do.
And
there's built-in spam filtering and virus filtering.
Right. And with a paid account, you can use any POP client with which to access your mail, so it doesn't have to look like a webmail account.
Indeed. I mentioned this.
And they'd get their own free web hosting with that, those two, because they all come with that as well.
These are all salient points.
And then they wouldn't have to worry about running a backup on their Exchange server or worrying about the latest virus with their Exchange server. And, well, yeah, I mean,
now
why bother?
Here's a counterpoint.
Sure.
If they use a web-based solution, I won't be able to bill shit.
Yes, but you will have done the right thing.
Ah, yes, the right thing. I know. I told her all these things. I said, you know, look, I mean, you know, I said, look, you got to understand, if you're going to host your own email, there's, you know, you know, you can't call tech support. You know, can't call 24/7 tech support when the email's not working. You can call me, and I'll come over as soon as I can, of course. But you're responsible for your email. If you have a little power outage, no more email.
Not to mention off-site availability means that you've got to run the webmail client for your Exchange server, which means you've got to expose it to port 80 on the internet, and thus to attacks from all the script kiddies.
Right. That to me is, I mean, you can't live in fear.
Well, no, I'm not saying live in fear, but as a
it's not port
in the
80.
List.
I don't think it's port 80.
Well, I mean,
I think it's HTTPS.
Yeah.
Which is what?
843.
445.
443. No, 443 is
445.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's easy enough.
I'll look it up.
Look up. Wikipedia's got a great list of ports. I think Drew had said that.
I'll just look up HTTPS port.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to get some more pizza.
Okay. I'm almost out of beer.
I'll get one of those too.
Actually, you know what? I'm pretty full, and we're about to end the show anyway. Right. 443. You were not right. You said like 812 or something. So
I said 843 and then I said 443.
Okay, well, so you said 443. That's, look at you.
I told you I was hungry, man.
That's fine. You know, you can take the rest home with you if you want.
Cool, thank you. I got to drop you a couple bucks.
And that's whatever. It's not a big deal. Basically,
dude, there are
little swallowables.
There's a minuscule little wrench and doodads on your floor.
Yeah, well, we've been assembling shit. Anyway, the point is that, you know, they seem very determined. Huh?
Need a microphone stand to effectively.
I know. We really do need microphone stands. We're up to 3 listeners.
Somebody else came in?
We are up to, oh no, it says current listeners 2, peak listeners 3. Oh, somebody came in
and then
somebody
dropped
just dropped out.
Bastards.
I was excited for a second. 3 listeners. We haven't had 3 listeners for 6 months.
Easy.
At least. There was a time when we had... Remember we had 5 listeners?
No.
That was hot.
I'm pretty sure that was a dream.
I was drenched in sweat.
It was a dream.
Anyway, the point is that they seem pretty determined to host their own email. That came from management. I wasn't talking to management. My proposal is going to be, you know, what they want. I'm, you know, if they call me in for another meeting, I will say, look, you know, hosting your email with, you know, Time Warner, I'm sure with their business account, they'll get 100 email boxes or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe the quotas won't be big enough, you know, but, you know, you can host with Google. If you can get accepted to the program, you can get a business account with Yahoo and do your domain there. And then you get the Yahoo, you know, mail interface, and you get all the benefits of spam and virus protection and all this kind of stuff. Like, if you don't want to do that, then you're reliant on yourself for everything. You have to protect yourself against spam. You have to protect yourself against viruses. You have to perform all the backups.
Total cost of ownership, people.
TCO is going to be higher, not to mention just the initial application of it all. You know, which is just going to take time. So, you know, what can I say? Plus, they're going to have, like, that week, probably have that weekend. They might, you know, we may have to change name servers depending on what we're trying to do. If we want to use, like, we may want to use, like, Zone Edit or something to use their mail spooling if the Exchange server goes down or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, there's no redundancy unless you do something else to build it in.
That's right. So, you know, it's definitely going to be much more expensive from initial cost, mm-hmm. and probably TCO they're looking at. Now, on the other hand, you know, the Exchange web client is fabulous.
In Outlook?
No, the Exchange web client.
I mean, in Internet Explorer.
It works in it works fine in Firefox. You can't do everything,
mm-hmm.
but it works fine. Enough. Works good enough. But, you know, if they're thinking about doing things like the global address books and public folders and things of that nature, you know, that may not be quite as easy to do with Yahoo.
Simple. You can do shared contacts with Yahoo. And
okay.
Shared calendars. In fact, I could share my calendar if you had a Yahoo account.
I have a Yahoo account.
I could share my calendar with
you. I don't want to see your calendar.
I don't want you to see it either.
I don't want to see the fact that there's nothing on a Tuesday night, and yet you're not here.
Exactly.
So I don't want to know. You know? Right. I just want to pretend that you're busy, even though you're at home. You know.
Well, I don't put my masturbatory schedule.
Even though
up
you're
there.
Home, even though you're home with your with your cock in a tub of DAP. I don't know, man. I was just spackling the wall, and it just looked so good. All right. So yeah. Well, so there you go. I don't know how we got on that topic. How did we get on that topic?
No.
I forget.
I also like the ceiling
like
that you've
of,
done.
Piece of what?
I like the ceiling that you did.
Oh yeah, you got to see that. It's a awesome. Like a tongue and groove. Like
I see that
stuff.
Yeah, it looks like it could it's be actually a floor on the ceiling.
Yeah, it's extremely easy to put up as long as you don't have too many obstructions. If you have just like some straight, you have a bunch of joists with none of these fucking pipes hanging down. We had to cut out some areas
to
allow for
pipes and
things. Yep. But it looks good. I'll show you the whole thing. Hmm. And this sort of like wall is kind of cool. And here's something that's. Here's some. Oh, I was talking about the flare.
Mm-hmm.
And you were asking me about the monolith, and they were saying how fast it was, and I don't know. This computer right here, I have rescued because it wouldn't boot up. It wouldn't friggin' boot.
Okay.
And it wouldn't post.
Oh. Any beep codes?
No beep codes. However, this is a Dell. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit older. It's a Pentium 4, 1.4 gigahertz with RAM bus, RD RAM in it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it has the four dots on the back of boot codes. So when it got hung up, it said video card error, and I yanked the video card and replaced it. It was a weird kind of AGP card. I replaced it with just an old PCI card that I had, and boom, came up perfect. Took Windows XP perfect.
All right,
it's one of the only Pentium 4 machines I've ever seen that did not come with a network card.
There's no NIC on the motherboard.
No,
dude,
truly a consumer.
Yeah, that's like, weird.
Like an AOL machine.
Yeah,
it had a modem. Anyway, it came with a nice modem, like a Lucent hardware modem. It's nice. I had a client who called me, and they got a warning. Their Dell said, your hard drive is fucked up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Back up all your data. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, maybe we should back up all our data. But when they turned it on the next time, it didn't
boot. It was dead.
So they're like, help, help, help.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there, turned it on, and when I booted into BART PE, I was just going to try to burn CDs right there.
Mm-hmm.
BART PE couldn't even see the drive. So BIOS wasn't even seeing the drive.
Not good.
So I kind of looked at her and I said, and she's like, you don't understand. I have 4,000 baby pictures on there. I have to have this data back. And I said, look, I'm going to try to get this data for you, but I want you to know that if I can't get it, not all is not lost, except the $1,000 to $2,000 you'll be paying OnTrack or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, OnTrack is off the hook expensive.
Well, I got a client, though, whose laptop hard drive crashed with a whole bunch of important shit that he hadn't backed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent it to somebody, and they got it all back for him for $1,000.
That's expensive. Considering, all right, if it's a Windows drive.
Yeah.
And if the actual hardware is not fried, then.
No, it went. It was going. Kink. Kink.
Yeah, so they would have had to kink. Yeah, I know. You're right.
No, they did the clean room.
Yeah, the process is so simple, though. I mean, they've got all this equipment to do.
But the overhead.
I know. I understand that. I'm bitching. Right.
The point is that if your hard drive ever physically dies and nobody can recover the data for you, there are options out there. You can look at OnTrack and other similar companies. They can take the drive into a clean room, remove the platters, put the platters into a drive with comparable hardware or perhaps even the same.
They even have specialized devices That
just read platter?
That just read the platter.
Okay, well, they can get the data off, but it's going to cost you at least a grand,
yep.
possibly more.
And you know what's really asinine? They charge you for how much data they recover, even if you could care less about whatever data it was. Like, you just want,
well, that's,
you know, your grandfather's will is the only thing you care about, and they're going
to
charge you
$1,000. This guy said to me he would have to work for an entire year to rebuild that data. So $1,000 is nothing. Okay? When he's running a multi-million dollar company.
That's good pizza.
It is good pizza, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I took her computer home with me. I said, it's not good. I have to take it home. I popped the drive out. It took me 3 different chassis before I could get one that would see it. Isn't that weird?
No.
Okay, so I finally got one that could see it. Maybe it was 3 different power supplies. I don't really know. But it was 3 different chassis. I finally got one that could see it. Oh, my God. We have 4 listeners.
Holy shnikes. I bet you they're all, welcome, Drew, Nate, and Sandy.
Welcome, world. Yeah, they probably are. Anyway.
They're messing with us.
So I finally got it to see the drive, and I figured, well, if I can see the drive, at least, but I couldn't see it in Windows.
Okay.
I could see it in the BIOS, though.
All right.
So I just, I used the Easy Recovery Pro from OnTrack, which, can kind of access the controller and kind of see what's out there on its own, has its own way of doing that, I guess. And I'll be damned if it didn't recover every last file.
That's awesome.
It took a really long time because that drive was hurting bad, and making some. I tell you, I knew it was bad already when I pulled it out of that chassis and I plugged it in. I had it exposed, like sitting out on the workbench, and when it, when the drive powers up, it goes like, you know what I mean. You hear the little clicks and stuff. Well, this thing, I heard it power up. It goes. It like powered itself down, wow. And then came back up again. I'm like, ooh, man, if it's time is critical. And
congratulations on your intensive care.
I got it all back. It took a really long time, and I ended up billing like $480.
It's half off. That's good.
At least half off.
Yeah, at least half.
And I burned them on DVDs, and I'm hosting the data until she calls me and tells me that they've got it on they've copied those DVDs onto a new PC, so that they at least have them in 2 different places.
That's awesome. Well done.
I was shocked that I was able to get that data off, but I was thrilled because then I knew I was going to be able to write a nice invoice, and everybody was going to win. It was a true win-win.
Should we do a celebratory dance?
Nah.
Maybe next time.
But maybe when we're done, we'll go get a couple of beers and we'll watch Korgoth.
Korgoth the Barbarian.
Of Barbaria.
Of Barbaria.
You sure you haven't seen it?
No. I'm not sure that I have not seen it.
You would remember.
Damn, this never happens at the show.
Oh, your phone?
My phone going off.
Well,
yes.
Maybe that's our cue. Who is that?
Oh, it's my friend Catherine.
All right, well, don't answer it just yet. All right, answer it if you want to talk to her.
No, I'm going to... There, I sent her to voicemail.
Why is she... Are you... you porking her or something?
No.
Do I know this person?
No. Person I met online. Went out with a couple times.
And you're just friends now?
Well, we've only been out a couple times.
You really expect me to believe that?
Yes.
All right, cool. Anyway, maybe that's the end of the show, huh? What do you say? What do you think? I'm hibernating my laptop, so.
Well, I guess that doesn't that kill everything? No, it's all running on the other one.
It's all running over here.
We don't want to even say anything about the new iPods that are coming, that came out.
The Nanos?
Yeah.
The Nano version 2. Do they light up like
yeah.
the commercial?
Yeah.
Or is that just for the commercial?
They're hot. I saw there was a hardware,
Go ahead and tell me.
Well, no, I don't want to now, because you're ready to be done with the show.
Well, you can talk to me about it. I'll listen.
No, that's all right.
Now go ahead and tell me about the new Nano.
Sub. Really, the only thing that is important is that I want one, so somebody buy me one.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to have some. Go fucking buy yourself one, dude. You make a decent living. Look, hey, you know what, though? I got to tell you. I'm going to be buying a Linksys WRT54G.
Yeah, Linksys is standard wireless.
I'm going to be putting on one of those open source firmwares.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to be fucking with it. And what I'm going to try to do is set it up so that it's kind of like a hotspot inside of a company so that visitors can use the internet and can't wirelessly use the internet but can't get to any network resources.
Oh, that's easy enough to do. Especially if they have a managed switch that you can do a VLAN on.
I could do a VLAN.
Yes, but Pinky.
I don't really want to do it that way.
Why not?
Because we'll probably forget, and it'll cause all kinds of weird problems. So I'm just going to do it at the router.
All right, you can do it at the router, too.
Or access point, really.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe I'll just make it a router. Maybe I'll do that. Would that work? Could I do that? Could I put it on a LAN, but make it a router?
Yeah, you just have to remove the LAN route from any of the wireless devices.
Huh?
You'll attach the router via its wired interface.
Right. Into the WAN link. I'll put the LAN into the WAN link of the router and say it's got a static address.
Mm-hmm.
And give it a static address. And as soon as I can see, as soon as I can ping anything, that means that the internet's running, and then I'll just let it distribute a whole different subnet of addresses that can't see anything.
Yeah.
Right?
That should work.
Would that work?
Yeah.
Would that just work, or would they be able to see the LAN just the same?
If you attach it to the WAN outlet, or the WAN port...
It's only going to route internet traffic, isn't it?
Well, it'll route to the next hop, which will be your LAN router.
Well, this will take some experimentation.
My initial feeling is that, no, you shouldn't be able to see the rest of the network.
Okay. Well, that's kind of all I'm trying to accomplish. So.
All right. Well, that's a good place to end the show, then.
Well, all right. We'll end the show there. Thank
you to all
everybody
our
for
listeners.
Listening. You know, Drew, we
love you.
We missed you very, very much. We're pleased that there is...
You should have seen
all
him.
That work to be done at Noteworthy. It must be a good sign.
He was looking pretty rough.
Was he looking pretty rough?
Hadn't shaved, you know, practically had a Grizzly Adams thing going on.
I'll
and the dude's
damned.
Bald. I mean, how the hell do you get Grizzly Adams all of a sudden when you're halfway bald?
I don't know, but I saw a billboard with a stick figure that looks exactly like Drew.
Really?
It's amazing. The face looked, I mean, all I can think of is that's Drew. I don't remember where. When I see it, I'll mention it on the show. I'll make sure I make a note of where it is so I can mention it.
Did you see it on your way to Detroit?
God, I hope not. I hope I saw it somewhere in town so that everyone else can see it.
All right.
All right, so that's it then. Visit www.dial-a-dork.com. Email us at dorks@dialadork.com. Dial-a-dork.com. Visit cafepress.com/dialadork.
With no dashes.
I don't know if that's hyphened or hyphenated or not.
I don't think it's hyphenated.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
No hyphens. Buy a t-shirt.
If you don't get the right page, then go to the one with the hyphens.
Yeah.
It is easy
Try
enough.
Either one. And that probably ought to do it.
I think that was a pretty decent show.
Okay.
I apologize for being late.
No problem. I rambled on in a really bad way. It wasn't entertaining at all.
Well, that's why we have more listeners now.
I guess so. Thanks for being here. All right, that is it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us, and hopefully we will see you next week when Drew has promised that he will be here.
Peace, love, and x86.
I like that. Are you Barry
really?
White or something? All right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.